presence, I'm a blessing. First verse. Oh, Jesus, I want to die to my will and be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot leave.
You in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and happy to be gathered again in his house. What a week it was. Very cold. Amen. But seeing the people of God gathered again and meeting the challenge of the day, you know, overcoming the cold and the comfort of the bed, and waking up, getting ready to come, it just shows that what we have sung is just the truth. Amen. Thy will be done. Amen. Not my will, but thine. Amen. Amen. Because when I do his will, even if things go wrong, he takes the blame. Amen. Amen. It's him who takes the blame. And things will never go wrong with him. Amen. It may seem to take a right wrong direction, but he knows why, and he will take position for you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for another Sunday. We have come to worship you, O Lord. Let our life, let our very presence here be an action of worship towards you, O Lord. Let us give you all our being. Let us commit ourselves to you now and forget about ourselves, O Lord. Let this service be a service that will be a landmark for the rest of our lives. Save our souls, O Lord. Heal our diseases, O Lord. Grant us the deepest desire of our hearts. Bless your people, those who came, O Lord, with concerns, those who came with worries and issues in their lives, O Lord. Let them go back refreshed. Let them go back, renewed, O Lord, in your presence. O Heavenly Father, if meeting a king, if meeting a great man of this world, someone can go back with some of his needs answered to, O Lord. What about meeting the King of Kings? We commit ourselves into your hands. O Lord, take control now. Take the leadership. Speak to our hearts and feed our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles. Today we are going to close our study on earnestly contending for the faith. Going to be the last lesson today. There's many things to say, but God will give us another opportunity maybe to go a bit further. But today we are going to just look at one angle of it. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So today we are going to look at one particular aspect of this topic, especially regarding our children, our young ones, our responsibility towards them. Because young ones, children, they come up with questions. The more they grow up, the more, you know, the questions, the more they discover things and they want to understand why, the whys of what they see or what they do. So that's why when they are still small, you know, they come up with questions that sometimes are silly. And sometimes it make you laugh, you know. Because French fries, daddy, what is it called French fries? You know, this type of question. You know, Scottish pizza, why is it Scottish pizza? You know, and sometimes you just say, yeah, because it's Scottish pizza, you know. You don't have the answer. At that age, it's still okay. They can still understand. Sometimes just say, no, don't ask that question. But it comes a time when they need to understand the whys of what they are doing. Amen. They need to understand the whys, because those questions, sometimes they come out of some experience they are going through. And you need to be ready. The scripture here, we are going to apply it today to us as parents of our children or adults towards our young ones. It's not only your children, but it may be a young brother or a young sister that may come over to you and say, brother and sister, listen, I don't understand this. Why do we do this? Why things happen like this? We have learned this at school, and I want to understand this. Be always ready to give an answer because of your faith. He said, and be ready always to give an answer to every man. To are going to apply it to our children, to our young man, to every child, to every young brother or sister that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you. Ask you questions about what we believe. Why do we believe? Be ready to give an answer. And don't take shortcuts. I listen, you know, because it's like that. Because the Bible says so. That's a very easy answer, and it doesn't satisfy them. That's why this question, why young people leave church? Most of the time, it's because of unanswered questions. Amen. Because of interrogations that doesn't meet the right answer. And the more they ask the questions and they don't find the answers, it pushes them slowly, slowly away. Amen. You know, there's a study that was made, conducted in the U.S. Does it work? Okay. A number of different studies indicate that after high school, between 1/3 and 2/3 of young people leave church. That's a big number. More than half of young people leave church. That was in the U.S., you know. It's a study that was confirmed by many different statistics. While they leave for many different kinds of reasons, but intellectual questions are one important factor. They'll come, you know, it's not only because of unanswered questions. There are many reasons. Some of them just backslide. Some of them is just the pressure of the age. Some of them is just, you know, the many different reasons. But they say intellectual question is one of the most important factors. If you take it and combine it with the other factors, it's, you know, balance, give them a good reason to leave church. So we need to be very careful as adults, the way we deal with our youths, the way we answer, the way we face their concerns. You know, they say, young people have genuine intellectual questions. And when these questions are not answered, many leave church. They come with questions, and they are genuine questions. Most of the time, we dismiss it, and we take it just, you know, these young ones, they just want, they are unbelievers. If someone brings a genuine question, try to dig and find out why they are asking this question. But sometimes we just dismiss it, and they have real questions that may be tormenting them. And you may be the person who is holding the key to them making this decision on that decision. You may be the person, you know, clearing the obstacles on their way, the last obstacle to whether go into the world or believe the word. Amen. So you just need to be very careful. And some of the listed some of the reasons, you know, they asked many, throughout the U.S., many youth were asked why did they leave church? Or some of those that stayed in the church, what the challenges they meet? And they started answering the questions. They say, as Christians, they express the desire of their faith in Christ to connect with the world they live in. Amen. Because they come to church here, we tell them things, but they go out there, they find some contradictions. We need, as adults, to make that bridge. Because what they are being taught in science is not wrong, let's say. It's science. Religion, what we teach them truth from the Bible, but there's some contradiction. We need to be able, of course, there are places where science is completely out of the way, is completely wrong or anti-God. But you need to be able to answer those questions, to show them, listen, here science says this, this, and that, but the Bible says, and make connection between all those two things so that they have a clear answer. Because when there's a confusion in their mind, they go out there, and it's a good reason for them to start now looking for something else. You know, I remember myself, the way I came to the world, I was very young, you know. I was around, when I was 16, 17, when I finished secondary school, I kind of became an atheist. And seriously speaking, because I was raised from a Catholic background and my parents converted to the Pentecost and I joined them on that church and when I was around 14, 15. And by the time I was 16 and I finished secondary school, since I was reading so many things regarding science and philosophy and the logic, and so I started being influenced by those things. And I started really, you know, doubting about the teaching of the Bible. And I know, I remember that time, my peers, no one could stand against me. You know, I was able to tweak them around, and I was still very young, but there was a young, a friend of mine, she was a girl, she was a believer, she was converted at that time, and she was a very good example. I was, you know, she had a very good life, and she was going to church and so forth, and she was so burdened about me. And she wanted to bring me to church, to the church she was going to. But anytime she would come, I would really tweak her around, you know, and she will go with more questions than answers. But she was a real believer. And I didn't know in the background she was praying for me. But anytime she would come, she was not able to answer my questions. And she'll go with more doubts than she came. But she was still pushing, you know. One day she brought one of their brethren, the brothers in church. She was so burdened, she took that brother. He came to speak to me. That brother was really, really trained, you know, in these things. He was even a bit older than me. And anything I would say regarding Socrates and Aristotle, and he would counterattack me and give me a counterargument. I would say this, he'll come with a counterargument. And he approached me in a way, he made friendship with me, that man, that he brought me to church. And that's how I got converted and went back to church. Because I found the answers to my questions. You know, my dad, of course, he was not ready to go that road with me. He was, you know, when you come, he'll just get you and he may whip you, hit you, and stupid questions. You know? Why are you bringing so stupid questions like that? But he didn't know that he was pushing me away. If he took some time to sit with me and, you know, give me some answers to the question, because they were genuine questions that I had. But that brother, God bless his soul where he is, he came and took the time to befriend me, to make friendship with me, and we spoke. And the more we started speaking, and I understand that he had the key to unlock, you know, my future, the decision I would make whether to follow God or follow whatever road I was following, you know. So there's a desire in our youth to feel the connection between what we tell them here and what science say. We need to be able to break it down. Listen, the science says this and the Bible says this. And get some scientific example, some scientists that say things, because they are scientist believers. They are out there and they've written things to contradict what the other scientists are saying. So these type of people are the people that we should show to our young ones. Listen, this man is a professor or whatever in Connecticut or whatever. Listen to what he says. And this is the counter argument to what the other scientists say, you know. Another one. Some found that Christians demonize everything outside of church. This is a serious one. This is a serious one. When, the you know, any book, they say, is it the Bible? No. Throw it in the bin. Is it the Sometimes we demonize everything. It may be demonic, but you need to be able to sit with them and show them that this is not good. But anything they do, we come up and say, who is that? Is he a believer? Don't even greet them. I don't want to see them in my house. I tell my children, bring your friends here. At home, I want to see your friends. Bring them here. I want to see what type of girl you are talking with. Even if she's a believer, even if she's a miniskirt, bring her to in the house here. I want to see her. At least I can help you. But most of the time we demonize every day. What girl? Is she wearing, well, I don't know, a short skirt? I don't want to see you walking with her. You are pushing your child away. Because she needs to understand why. They need to understand why you are telling them not to play that game, not to go to that party,
not to talk with that person. They need to understand. But when you demonize everything, you become just want to put them in a bubble there. It's a good way to push them away. And that church usually ignore the problem of the real world. We want to find our children as if they were angels. They are spirits. And they live, you know, they float in a spiritual, virtual world. No, they live in the real world. They face real questions out there. You know, your boy will have a girl that will be after her in college, wants to go, you know, dating with him. You need to be able to face those real world problems. Your daughter will be a boy that will be after them trying to get her to go out with them. You need to be able to sit with your daughter and explain to them. Ask those questions. Sometimes our children don't come to talk to us because they know, my dad will say I have a bad spirit. Yeah. The time he comes, daddy, you know, I'm feeling this and this and that. You have a demon. No, it's normal. My brother, my sister, let me tell you, there is some age where some chemical starts acting in your body that you can't stop it. It's not a demon. Your boy, some chemical reaction will start operating in him, in your daughter, that she can't stop it. Hello, don't go and start to blame her. Don't go and start to condemn your boy. No, it's normal. You've been through the same. Share your experience with them. Show them how to overcome it. But they're afraid to come and tell you because they say, my dad, if I tell them, I know. He won't talk to me anymore. No, my brother, you are pushing them away. Be your child's friend. Amen. Be your daughter's friend. Be your son's friend. Let them feel comfortable to come and share their concerns with you. Once you've reached that stage, my brother, you have won the battle. Because they will come and tell you, Dad, listen, I feel this and this and this and this and that. Tell you, listen, okay. Sometimes you say, okay, we'll talk later. If you don't have an answer, but have a very good reaction, listen, okay, no problem. And find a way. If you don't have a correct approach yet, seek advice. Pastor, I have such problem. My daughter told me this. What can I do? We have Brother Maxwell here. You know, he's our elder. He has raised children. He has an experience on this type of things. Our mama is here. God bless you, mama. mama has an experience. You can go and talk to her. Tell her, listen, I've done this. Sister Priya, she has a big daughters, big boys. She's gone through a lot. You know, there's many. I can't call all of them. But be ready to sit with your child and help them. They said, one of the reasons young adults feel disconnected from church or from faith is the tension they feel between Christianity and science. I think we have experienced it many times in our church here. They start coming, asking questions because science says this and the Bible says this and there's contradiction and we don't understand. And many of them leave church because of unanswered questions on these things. Churches are out of step with the scientific world we live in. They feel like Christianity is anti-science. While they go, some of them may have really, you know, ambitions to do science, to become big scientists, you know, and go and do chemistry, biology, pharmaceutical, and whatever. But they come to church, the preacher will come here and they, that's demonic. You know, it's like in the world of time of Sodom and Gomorrah and the science. You blast science completely. You don't make the balance. Because there's always a balance. Science is good. Because of science, we have this microphone. That's science. We have the internet. We have the light. We have everything. That's science. There's God in science. You need to be able to show them God in science. Amen. You need to be able to take a scientific book and from that book show them God. Last week we saw how Paul took the philosophy of the Epicureans. And from the Epicureans' book and teaching, he showed them God. Amen. Amen. I was in your city and I saw a statue dedicated to an unknown God. And one of your poets said this and this and this and that. That's the God I'm going to announce to you today. Amen. Amen. You should be able from a scientific experience to show them you see God in that. Brother Branham was able from the variation of seasons show an unbeliever that God exists. You see how the sap in the tree goes down during winter. Amen. And then it comes up and the life comes back again. He was able, through the scientific variation of seasons, show the existence of God. He said also, many science-minded young Christians are struggling to find ways of staying faithful to their belief and to their professional calling in science-related industry. So they find that church is really not letting us, you know, they just want to be sit there and, you know, just Bible, 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 which is not bad. But you should be able to find a balance because they have a future. They have ambitions. And the Bible shouldn't be an obstacle to their professional ambitions. We should be able to show them you can still do what you want to do and be a good Christian.
Amen.
You can still be a good journalist while they are promoting homosexuality and all these things and all that gay agenda in the journalism, but you can still be a Christian journalist and believe the word. And show to the world that being a journalist doesn't prevent you to be a Christian.
Amen.
You know, the last slide, I think. The church feels unfriendly to those who doubt. That was one of the points that they raised. That the time you raise a doubt in church, they put you in a quarantine. Amen. You may have genuine doubts, my brother. A boy can come with serious doubts. What you preach, brother, he may come to challenge you, say, I don't believe it. I don't understand it, and I seriously doubt. And once a boy, a girl comes and doubts something, they say the church feels very unfriendly. The preacher will come here and say, brothers and sisters, listen, that boy and that girl, please don't fellowship with them. They have a bad spirit. Why? Because they've expressed doubts. But that a doubt can just be an expression of something, an experience they are going through. And we need to be able to clear that doubt in their mind. The church shouldn't be a place where young boys, young girls, the young ones they feel, you know, not comfortable to express their concerns. It should be a place of open discussion.
Amen.
Bring your questions. That's why you see sometimes pastor organize questions and answers. Bring your questions. Questions comes from some misunderstanding, from doubt, from things, from some experience. Bring the questions. Don't say from the moment they raise a doubt, oh, no. We need to kick him away from church. And it's a good way. One of the reasons young ones leave church. Unanswered questions. We need to be ready to answer those questions. They do not feel safe admitting that some teachings and belief does not make sense. It's normal. It's normal. Some of them is gonna ask you, Dad, why don't we have a TV in the house? Because for them it doesn't make sense. Answer the question. Show them why. Don't just come, you have a bad spirit. Why do you want a TV? It's Hollywood. You tell me. You tell me. Why do you want a TV? He asked you a question. Don't go back to corner them up and say, no, you have a bad spirit. Why do you want a TV? Or what do you want to wear a miniskirt? Or what do you want to wear a skirt? No, it's a question. Dad, why don't we wear skirt? Trousers. Answer the question. Why do you want to wear a trouser? Tell me, why do you want to wear a trouser? No, I don't want to wear a trouser. I want to understand because I've been asked a question somewhere and I want to have an answer. Go away. Don't come with such stupid questions again. You know, it's a good way to kick them away. Not being able to ask most pressing life questions in church. That's one of the reasons. They have very serious things. It's a matter of life and death for them. But if they ask it, they know that they're going to be, you know, labeled, some sort of name put on them, you know. So we are going to stop there. There's many things that could be said. We condemn them when they leave. You know, that young brother has left church and he has backslidden and this and that. But you didn't go to ask why. They may have many things that they didn't find answers to, and it's only easy for them. Put on top of that all the pressures that they've got in the world there. The internet and the music and this, the attraction of the world. And when they come to church, they find that you don't answer their questions. They say it makes more sense to go there and enjoy the world rather than staying in church. Amen. So let's just keep that in mind and pray for our young ones. And let's be ready to answer. If they come with questions, let's be ready. If you can't, we are a community of brethren. Someone else may have the answer. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this short exhortation, O Lord. We believe that you are able to reveal us what has not been said, and you are able to give us wisdom to be really a helping stone, a stepping stone to those who need help in time of need. Bless us. Bless now the rest of the service as we commit it into your hand. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.